Accession number 21276, Reel 1.
Jeff Easton, Reel 1. So, can you tell me where you were born?
Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
North Yorkshire.
And what did your father do?
He was a steel worker, or more accurately, an iron works employee, a moulder.
Right. Mm-hmm. And did your mother work?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had one sister when I was 10.
Uh-huh. Right, so she was 10 years younger than you.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, where did you go to school?
I went to school most significantly in Nottingham. The family moved to Nottingham, and I was fortunate enough when I was 10 to get a free scholarship to a blue coat school in Nottingham.
Right. Wow. That was like just a grammar school, was it?
It was. Yeah. It was a private school, privately funded school, which had a grant from the local authority for up to 10 boys each year who got in free. And I was one of the fortunate ones.
Yeah. So your parents were very proud about that, were they?
I suppose they must have been, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what age did you leave school?
16.
Uh-huh. And what did you want to do then?
Well, didn't know. School, in retrospect, was not very helpful. I knew nothing about anything outside school. The world of work was just a mystery, you see, and it wasn't what you knew, it was who you knew, particularly at that time.
Yeah. What was your date of birth?
28/11/1923.
Right. So what did you go to do then when you left school?
Well, I got a job as a temporary employee in John Players Limited, the tobacco, amongst all those players' angels, so-called.
So what were you actually doing?
Oh, I was the foreman's hand rag. I used to do odd office jobs, run errands, and sell meal tickets for the canteen and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I was not on the permanent staff because they said, oh, you'll be called up any minute, you see.
So what year was this, roughly?
Oh, this was 1939-41, yes.
Yeah. So you stayed there for...
I stayed there until I was called up in 1942, yes.
Right. Do you remember what date you were called up?
I think it was the 20th of August,
right.
1942.
Yeah.
But I've got my card there, if you...
Oh, right. Well, we can check on that later, yeah, that's right. So what did you feel about being called up? You know, was it...
Well, it was an escape, really, like all... Small boys, you're slightly stupid and overawed by what was going off. And it was an escape from home, really. I wasn't all that happy at home. And the only sad thing about it was I just met a young lady. And after 6 months, I had to go, you see. But anyway, it all worked out well in the end.
Had you been following the progress of the war?
Oh, only... incidentally, as far as one can, in newspapers, radio didn't figure very highly in those days. And that's all I knew about the war, really. It's only lately, watching television, the bomb squad, that I realised the extent of damage in London and Plymouth and other places. I had no idea. It didn't occur to me that there was quite so much damage.
Right. Had you had any raids on Nottingham at all?
No, there was a few bombs dropped, but that's all you can say for it. It was a few. I wouldn't know how many. Half a dozen maybe, that's about all.
Yeah. Mm. Right. So did you want to go and be a gung-ho soldier?
Not really, no. In fact, after being in the army for 5 years, I never really felt like a soldier at all. No, they didn't convert me.
Had you played sports as a teenager?
No, I didn't like sports. In fact, it's one of my proud boasts that no one at school or in the army ever got me to hit or kick a ball. I didn't like it. I couldn't see any future in running around and getting in a lather.
Right, fair enough. So you were called up. What were your feelings when you got your call-up papers?
Well, I suppose excitement, in a way. It was a novelty. And as I say, I'd never been travelled very far from Nottingham, except on odd excursions. I'd been once to Plymouth, I think. To Portsmouth, I'm sorry. And so I knew nothing of the outside world at all. And it was an opportunity to see places, I should think.
Right. So they sent you a travel warrant?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So where did you have to go to?
Bodmin, Cornwall.
And that was quite an expedition, was it?
Oh, it was, yes, yes. More reliable railway then.
So did you meet up with other people going to Bodmin?
On the train?
On the journey?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, so you arrived in a group, did you?
We arrived on the station in a group, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And were taken in hand by, I can't remember now, some NCO.
Uh-huh. And what unit were you going to join there?
Well, this was an initial training unit.
Mm. Do you know which one it was?
No.
Right, okay. Sorry, I'm sure they will know. So what was it like that first evening at Bodmin? You were all put in a barrack, I suppose.
Yeah, confused, I suppose you'd call it. The worst shock was being given a large Hessian bag and taken to a hut full of straw, which you had to stuff in the bag for your bedding. I thought that was a bit off, really. I was also rather disenchanted with the rate of pay. 10 shillings 1 week and 12 and 6 the next, which was hardly munificence, was it?
So you got issued with kit and things, did you, the next morning?
Oh, yes, yes, of which there were only 2 sizes of uniform, of course. You've probably heard the remark before, too big and too small. I found that I could remove my uniform blouse without undoing the buttons.
So what sorts of people were you with, you know, that you joined up with?
Every sort.
Yeah.
Every sort, yes. Some as thick as planks. And there were even policemen, to my great surprise. I didn't expect. I thought they were in reserved occupations, but there were a couple of policemen there. But
were you all about the same age? Or?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Give or take a fortnight, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was that atmosphere like the first night in barracks?
Oh, well, there was a lot of talk, a lot of chat, and I was a quiet sort of lad. I wasn't a member of a group or a gang or a club or anything like that. And I just tended to sort of sit on one side and listen, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. So were there any people sort of having a little sob in the night, you know, being away from
Not
home?
That I recall, no. No, I don't think so.
Right, yeah.
No.
So then I suppose the full shock came the next morning. What did they get you doing straight away?
Well, we had a variety of things. We had tests, you know, psychological tests involving colours and sound to see whether you had any aptitude for Morse. Later on we went on an assault course, which was rather horrendous, leaping into pools full of mud and crawling through tunnels with about 2 inches of breathing space at the top, wearing a tin hat and lugging a rifle.
So how did you take to all that?
Well, I was small and nimble, you see. I wasn't very athletic, but I was nimble, and I didn't mind. It was the bigger boys who had the most trouble rather than me. I was very adaptable and I seemed to cope with it very well.
Yeah. Mm. So, had you any idea what you wanted to do in the army? You know?
Well, I don't know whether personal preference came into it at all, really. It just progressed. And I did rather well on the testing. And ultimately, of course, I was posted to an armoured regiment. To an armoured training unit, anyway. Mm.
So why do you think they chose you for an armoured unit?
Well, I, as I say, I did rather well in the testing, and I had an aptitude for Morse code.
Right.
They tapped out various letters, and then they repeated it, making mistakes. You had to then judge whether the two signals were the same or not, that sort of thing.
Right.
And I was very good at that.
Mm. What other tests did they do? Do you remember?
Oh, mechanical tests. You had to strip down a bicycle pump and a door lock and some other bits and pieces I can't recall now. Mm. So it didn't present any problems to me at all.
Did they time you doing it or...?
I think there was a time limit, yeah. Yes.
And they were also watching you.
Yes,
yeah. They strolled about, didn't they? And
yeah.
Watched you as you struggled. So, you did square bashing, I suppose?
Some,
yeah.
But not a lot.
Right.
Not a lot. I didn't enjoy it much, but again, it didn't come as any burden or trouble to me. I was... rather contemptuous of those who didn't know where they're left from their right. And
and weapons training, what sort of weapons training did you do?
Oh, well, there was very little there. It was an initial training centre, and there was very little weapons training. That came later when we got to the armoured training unit.
So there you at Bodmin, you just had a rifle...
Yes, we merely carried it about. I don't remember firing it at Bodmin. Oh, I did on the assault course. Yes, we had to run round like mad things for about half a mile through all this mud, and then you had to fire the rifle at the end. That's right, just one shot. Oh, the worst part about the assault course was we followed another group who'd just gone round, and it was a cold day, windy cold day. And we had to put on their the denims that they'd just removed. And it was wet.
Yeah.
And it was horrid, yes.
This is to keep your uniform clean, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So did you do any grenade training?
Not there.
No. No other weapons
no.
training?
No, no.
Right.
Not that I recall, no.
Yeah. Did they do PT?
Oh, God, yes. And that I hated, I say. I'm not very athletic. And I remember leaping off about 12 feet onto the floor and rolling over that to absorb the inertia.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Did you? I mean, although you didn't like PT, did you feel yourself getting fitter while you were at Bodmin?
Can't say I did. No, can't say I did.
What was your attitude? You sort of you enjoyed
resignation.
Were most people the same?
I would think so, yes. But, I mean, like me, they'd come out of Civvy Street. They'd not gone in for any kind of serious athletic endeavours. Some of them played football, of course. But no, I think we just put up with it.
Did you get any field training or tactical training while you were at Bodmin?
No.
At all? So basically, we do a bit of square bashing, PT,
yes.
Tests.
Yes.
And that was about it, was it?
That was about it, yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What was the food like?
Well, nothing stands out. Army food generally was not very good, really. And the thing that horrified me were all the pans and dishes in the place were filthy,
really?
Which I didn't like at all.
Yeah.
Rather fastidious, and I... Mm. And I didn't like that at all. But
yeah.
Custard made with water is not very appetising. And I was cured of prunes for life. I've never had a prune since.
How did you get on with the NCOs? Because they were the ones who I suppose were...
Yes. Well, they weren't much better than us, you see. They'd been in only a relatively short time anyway. And no, I never had any trouble with personal relationships with anyone, ever. To my great relief, I suppose.
What was their attitude? Were they, I mean, they weren't sort of rushing in and shouting at you, I suppose.
No. It wasn't, as we've seen on television lately. No, there was nothing like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they realised that we were all in it together anyway, and there was... I can't you see, when you get to my age, names, places and dates and things do tend to fade a bit.
Yes,
and,
that's right. Yeah. And, yeah, we like the impressions. Yeah.
But I have no recollections of any cruelty, if you like, to put it crudely.
Yeah.
No, there was nothing like that
discipline
at all.
Discipline wasn't a problem then?
Pardon?
Discipline wasn't really
no,
a problem.
No, yeah. No, I'm sure it wasn't, no.
Did you have any contact with any officers?
No, not there. No, I never met one there.
Oh, right.
No.
And you did, so you did your passing out?
I suppose we must have done, but I don't remember what it amounted to. I really don't. I don't know whether there was a formal passing out ceremony there. It was a very junior, you know, low-ranking, low-profile sort of place.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember a passing out there.
How long were you there? Do you know?
6 weeks.
6 weeks, right, okay. And at the end of that time, did you get a choice as to where you went?
No.
No, right,
no, here's your ticket.
Where was your ticket for?
Barnard Castle.
Barnard Castle.
Right. Dearbolt Camp.
Right. Which unit was that with?
That was the Royal Armoured Corps.
Right, and that's Dearbolt.
Dearbolt Camp, yes. It's now a borstal and I dare say a good deal more comfortable.
Right. So that'd be about, what, September, October?
It was October, I think. Right. October 42.
Yeah, right. So that's arriving at Barnard Castle at Dearbolt Camp. Was that a very different sort of place?
Different atmosphere. Oh, yes, everything was much smarter and you were expected to walk about in a soldier-like manner to a greater degree, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you were put into a barrack room, I suppose,
yes.
What were the people like? Were they very different?
They were rather, a bit different, yes. Without wishing to sound arrogant, a little more upmarket than some we'd met in the initial, because a lot of those people went to infantry units where it was thought appropriate for idiots to go, I think, at the time anyway. Although my opinion of infantrymen did change during the war. They had a very great rough time. But the strange thing was, the infantrymen wouldn't change places with us, and nor would I have liked their job either. So I don't know whether the choice worked out well, the army's choice or not.
That's right, yes. They always say that.
Yeah.
The infantry always felt terribly sorry for people in tanks.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and vice versa.
Yes, yeah.
That's right. So what did you start training at Dearbolt then? Because, you hadn't done...
No, well,
really at all,
there was something that happened there that gave me the greatest pleasure. I knew nothing about Morse code, of course, and I was doing 6 words a minute before a week was out, which I thought was very good. I was.
So how did they train you to do that then?
Well, by listening, of course, and repetition. Yeah. Yes.
So did you spend a long time on that?
Well, days, whole days, yes, yes.
I got the hang of that.
Yeah.
So you must have been quite pleased you'd actually I be was. Still now, you know, useful.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. And,
I was going to say, what were they training you for? Had you been any idea of what job you would do?
Well, you see, in the Armoured Corps, you do everybody's job. My grade officially was a gunner operator. But of course, you do driving as well, you see, and the whole lot, and
so that's what they taught you there, was it?
Well, yes, I Morse code, radio. I passed a radio operator's course, and I got another sixpence a day. But I lost threepence from the ordinary something or other. So it's marvellous, isn't it?
Always a catch.
Yeah. The thing that, in retrospect, that surprised me was the fact that they never taught us any first aid. We only ever saw a field service bandage. That's all. Weren't told what to do with it. No first aid at all.
That seems quite an omission, doesn't it?
It does, does indeed. Yeah. Didn't think about it at the time, but later on you thought, well, blimey, I wish I'd known about something, you know? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So what was the accommodation like You were saying it's a four-story.
Well, it was the accommodation wasn't too bad, I suppose. It was in huts accommodating about 20 men, and they had very, very highly polished linoleum floors, which we had to use with what was called a bumper. You know, I think we must have had some polish to put on it as well, because it used to shine, the floor did. It had to, of course.
Were they stricter on kit inspections and things then?
Oh, yes. No, they weren't too strict, but they were kit inspections, and providing things were more or less in place, I don't remember any trouble about that, no.
What were the NCOs like there? Can you remember any sort of individuals in your mind?
Names have disappeared. Yeah. I had a bad accident there on an assault course, swinging on a rope across a sort of chasm, if you like, for want of a better word, and somebody had omitted to put a knot in the bottom of the rope, and my hands slipped. Once you go on a rope, you can't recover it, can you? And I slipped off the end and fell on my bottom, and I was lying on my back for 3 weeks afterwards. But being young and foolish, I said, I'll be all right, I'll be all right. You know, I could have got out with a pension, I think.
Does that still give you any trouble now?
It does. I've had backache ever since.
Right.
Yeah.
Cracked a vertebra.
Yes, I've never been able to bend since. Gardening is a pain, which is why I've tiled the front. No, I can't do... Can't do bending.
Yeah,
don't like bending.
Yeah. So the treatment was just rest, was it?
That's all it was, yes.
Mm. Was the assault course there, was it much more demanding than the one down at Bodmin?
Well, it had different things, I suppose. It was different, that's all I can say about it, really. I wouldn't say it was more demanding. It was a bit longer, I remember.
I didn't ask you, did you do any route marches?
No, not in the cavalry. We didn't do route marches.
Right, okay.
And we all marched at 95 paces a minute instead of 100 and whatever. Some of the infantry do 130, don't they, I believe?
Yeah, yeah. That's right. So it was...
It's a very leisurely sort of thing. Mm. We did have... parades regularly, which I didn't enjoy. I don't like standing about waiting for some top brass to come and look at you. Mm. And being on parade at 8 o'clock on a frosty morning with your blackberry turning white is not an activity I'm in favour of.
Mm. Do you remember any of the top brass who came round?
No. I mean,
yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No.
Do you remember any of the officers' names?
No, we were far too down the list. Yeah.
So, what other training did you do at Deerbolt then?
Oh, well, I used to go round in a 1500 weight truck with a Morse key strapped to my leg, over the North York Moors, and picking up messages and transmitting and that sort of thing. And then we had firing practice on Warcop Ranges, which I think near Kendal. And I frightened myself to death there one day. I nearly had to change my trousers. We had some high explosive shells. I was acting as a loader. And to be a loader in a British tank, you've got to be a left-handed dwarf, really. For some unfathomable reason, you loaded the shells with your left hand. Why the heck you couldn't stand on the other side and do it properly, I don't know. Anyway... These high explosives had got a leaden cap, a leaden nose. Now, I didn't know what sort of impact it took to set it off, but in trying to manoeuvre the thing into the breech, I banged it on the top of the turret and flattened one side. It didn't go off, as you see. It didn't go off, no. Yeah. But it frightened the life out of me.
So what sort of tank did you... go in first at Barnard Castle? I mean, it's the first time you've seen
Yes.
What did you think when you first saw a tank?
Not all that impressed, really. It didn't seem very substantial, I thought. No, they were Cromwells, they were. Mm. Later on, I went backwards to Covenanters, even in the...
But you did your training there on Cromwells?
Cromwells, yeah.
So... You learnt to drive. What did you learn to drive on?
1,500 weights, uh-huh. tanks, and a three-tonner, I think.
Right. Mm. So when you were doing your firing practice in the Cromwells, where exactly were you near Kendal?
Well, it was called Warcop.
And was that on a range?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Well, we did some rifle practice there too, with 1914 rifles. Canadian Rosses, right? Yeah, with a circular foresight. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, had you been put into a crew, or were you just all training?
No, we were in troops. You see, in groups, and we tended to stay with the same group.
Right. Mm. Do you remember what troop you were in? Or what
no,
squadron?
No, yeah. I don't. I don't That's remember okay. if it had a name or not. Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah. So, how long did you stay at Dearbulk?
It must have been at least 6 months, I think. Uh-huh. But offhand, I honestly can't remember, but it was some months anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So you did your training in Cromwell tanks there? Any the flamethrowers, no?
No, no funnies.
Yeah, right.
No. Okay. And in retrospect, it occurred to me after we left... We'd never been given the opportunity to see any German tanks or armour or armament. Yeah. Later on, it became obvious why. Mm. It would have frightened us to death. They were so much better than ours, you see. Yeah. There were not even any vehicle recognition charts, as they had for aircraft.
Right.
Not even vehicle recognition. Mind you, you realised what it was when you saw it.
It might have helped,
yes. And I thought afterwards, well, we don't know what they look like. If they're not ours, they must be somebody else's, yes.
Were you sort of told, or did you get any idea of how good British tanks were?
No, there was no opinions expressed, always, this is the top, you know, or anything like that. No. Okay. Nobody sang their praises.
So you just did Cromwell's there, did you? No other tanks?
Not that I remember, no.
Right. So what was a Cromwell tank like to drive? What were the controls?
Well, it was a normal sort of thing, you know, like a motor car. There was a clutch and a brake and the steering levers.
Right.
And a lot to it.
Did you do, off-road stuff going...
Oh, yes, yeah, yes.
Over
the moors, track? Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. So what sort of things did they teach you about driving them or going over rough terrain?
Take your foot off the throttle when you're going down a slope. And don't pull too hard on tarmac.
Right.
And
so it's fairly basic stuff.
Oh, very basic, yes. Yeah. Yes. Tank driving is a matter of experience. You can only do it over a period of time, I think, anyway, because there are situations and... so on that you can't anticipate always, and it's just a matter of experience.
So did you enjoy your time at Barnard Castle?
It was all right, yes, I've coped with it. As I say, I'm pretty adaptable and I coped with it, and a lot of it was interesting. The vehicle maintenance we did, of course, which I found later on useful.
What other things did they teach you there that were or weren't useful later on?
Well, how to increase the speed of a rotor arm.
How do you do that?
You solder it down. You see, they had governors fitted on these tank engines, and if you exceeded a certain number of revs, you know what a rotor arm is? The rotor arm used to lift off the points, see? And you, of course, you didn't go anymore. But if you soldered them down, then you could go any speed you like. And 50 miles an hour in a tank is pretty hairy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Jack Easton, end of reel one.